See, the criticism, for instance, the review in the paper this morning was good. I think a pretty fair review, because it made the point that they had 5 hours of film, and that if we had been able to see more of the 5 hours, we would have had a much better insight into the way the president works than just seeing 1 hour, because it was necessarily chopped up. And therefore, we got a presentation of the public activity of the presidency, but not the kind of insight into the reasoning behind things that would have been interesting for that. That's the summary that wants that reasoning. What they said was, what you do get is the great sense, and this is what I think the great sense of the range of the office, of the kinds of things the president has to deal with, of the tremendous pressure and pace under which he must work, and of the demands of the ceremonial aspects, and in a sense the way they intrude on the business of the office and all that, and yet are an important part. And then they said that the most interesting parts of the show were the little insights, the president with taking a break with the dog in the Oval Office, the president making a note to himself on a little piece of paper and sticking it in his pocket during a meeting, the president in his reaction to phone conversations, the little interview with Jack and Julie, and then the interview with Chancellor at the end came off very well. They've used a lot of that. They've used it on the Today Show and on the news as a feature piece and all of the sort of the background on China, what we're trying to accomplish there, what we're doing, what we don't expect and all. But their criticism was that it was, in a sense, was too superficial, and then just as in a meeting, they were starting to get into the depth of it, they would cut or they'd get the narrator's voice and you wouldn't really hear what was going to happen.
It'd be quite a show of reality.
Also, they made the point that, as is inevitable, that television is not able really to look into the actual operation of the office. And they weren't criticizing that. They were just saying that's a thing, because nobody is going to act all the time the same way when 10 million people, he knows 10 million people are watching him, as he will act when he knows he's alone, or with someone of one other person. And he said, you had the feeling that the president and the other people were most of the time aware of the fact that there were cameras there, which is, they weren't criticizing, they're just saying there's a fact in looking at television's ability to cover something like this. But then they still come back to the fact that it was historic, covers, you know, something that's never been done before, and gave us much more of a look into the presidency than anybody's ever had, even though it may not have been a perfect look. And I think all of that is fair. I don't know whether the disciplined folks will. I don't know if we'll really find out whether the disciplined folks are interested in
it. Well, anyway, you've done it.
Well, I think it did a lot.
The question is what good it does to the president. I mean, you see with the scale of people and our people around here told you, see it as a fine show, like Polly Atkins, for instance. You know, they always, well, Ron, the same way. Great news story, picture, that sort of thing. But, you know, looking closer, what does the show of the president that hasn't shown previously? That's what I want to do.
It's shown a little of what we see in
that the president works hard.
No, commanded meetings. And the president's in charge, and a range of stuff that the president's in charge of.
I think some of that can come out.
Very much so. I think it was, let's compare it to a day in the life of the president in U.S. News, which every president said for the last Roosevelt, I guess. The impact of the value of the role to you is a thousand times what that would have been. And, of course, it was more work to it, too, than there would be in that. But,
not for me.
But there's almost the same problem with that, because you've got the guy in there and the camera in there all the time for that one, too. So,
no problem. I think the professional, I don't think I didn't mean to say professional political science people, but professional television news types will like it, will that are impressed. Like Ollie is a good example. He said this is the best thing we've ever done. I mean, he said it before before it was done because, you know, he just loves coming in and taking pictures that haven't been taken before.
It showed in a way that hasn't been shown before. It shows you get the feeling of some of the problem of the office too. I think you would build a personal thing. For instance, they did a very good sequence on the photo opportunity business, and it gave you realize what all of us see who are here all the time, but the people out there never see, have no concept of. Which is, when you started with Trudeau, he came in, you talked for a minute, and you said, well, we've got to go through the ordeal now, or something, you know, you sit in this chair. And then this horde of people came in, and they had the camera over there, and they got the guys coming in the door, just by the, you know, the herd of cattle, knocking each other over, and, you know, jockeying for position, and they got all the noise of the ladder, the shutters going, and all that.
Good. That's good.
That doesn't change anybody's vote, but it
nothing harmful.
It's kind of insight into, you know, that the guy can't just go about these
things. Oh, you see too about
people. Oh yeah. And they've given a tremendous push, and they'll be delighted with the review they got on it. And all that. It'll be a big thing for them. No question about that.
What else is the news today? I'm taking off for a week and read the news. Congratulations.
Okay.
Why should I?
Can't remember that nothing.
Why are you? I read the front page of the paper. Monitoring plan, your yard, schools.
Yeah, plus.
Best city, what else does? Else?
They ran on TV last night, they ran I didn't see it, but some of the people here saw it at the time, and I guess really horrible. One of the worst they've ever done, atrocity thing.
Which side?
The Indians.
Indians killed him.
Indians killed four
packs.
And
good.
It was apparently really, you know, just
guessing.
I guess it ran in the paper this morning.
The Indians cut off that. No, you know, there's six pictures that they wouldn't let out of the country. Henry told me last night.
Well, they made a point on this thing of sort of apologizing for running the Indian atrocities, but said, here they are.
Apologizing for running them, yeah.
But Peterson raises the question, which I guess McGregor wondered about, that maybe on track with the staff anyway, but there was apparently an announcement in Bermuda by Rogers that we would be moving a trade preference bill in January. And
the general preference.
They're concerned that this is an administration commitment because, you know, once we start a bill, we can't stop it. It'll Christmas tree. And they were only concerned.
Yes, we are committed to it because of what I said in the Latin American sea. That's part of my Latin American issue. Put in the bill and don't push it. I mean, that's just tough use and don't bother with it, you know what I mean? We have to put it in.
Okay.
But don't put it in the hell of a lot of, you know what I mean? It's one of those things where they aren't going to push it. They aren't going to want the goddamn thing. I know that, but see, Peterson isn't aware of the background. We're stuck with the proposition when we want or not. Good. Bermuda seemed to be handled with as much as we could expect from here, wasn't it?
Yes.
Good play.
Good. They're all very positive. NBC.
Not big news, of course, but it was good play.
Well, it was big news, and he good.
Right.
Yeah, the picture, the depth of the Glamorgan man.
Yeah.
All over. And, which is a pretty good picture. Yeah, it was, you know, a little different setting. And the point that CDC did a special, a half-hour special on Summit Tree, entitled The Seven Summits or something.
Oh.
They're doing apparently a series of them after,
okay,
after each, and
right,
they did one last night that was,
yeah,
basically very positive.
No, I get it. I'm sure those things, the meetings, you know, at the time I was. You give me any more thought for the thing last night?
back to the beginning.
Well, those are things really like.
Because we have the CIA.
Or the ambitious people, he drives down and gets the word.
Well, he wants to interrogate the guy himself now.
What are you going to say?
Well, it just, the thing that worries me is that guy, that Yeoman.
Yeah, what do you do now?
He's turning it loose. Yeah, if he's psychologically unbalanced, which he's almost bound to be after being worked over like this, you'd be a little guy at that level getting cranked up the way he is.
Yeah. Agreed.
And I just think you can't arrest him, you can't prosecute him, you can't take over another
over.
But I just wonder if there's something you can do to bottle him up. Maybe it's just to
he's another over. That's a problem, you see.
Potentially, he sure is.
That's the thing that concerns me.
Except that he probably knows a hell of a lot more than elsewhere. He may not be as smart.
Yeah, he really knows more. That's right. He doesn't have as much bulk in papers, but he really knows
more
because he's been in on more important things.
Well, he's read all that stuff that's come through there.
And Elbert's been on the sidelines. She's been in there.
Of course, it's all.
You're right, it's all the book.
It's all, yeah, but it's all past. And really, what's in there isn't really terribly harmful. Most of it's good.
Most of it is not harmful. Really well, it's very full notes of every conversation and overblows most stuff. So I suppose he's got some of that conversation with me where I said, get those damn people to work. You know, this and that, which is fine. Mom in the north. So be it. But I certainly want that he put the Henry and Hague on this album, Bob. This is I'll tell you one thing, it's fortuitous about it. Henry will turn over his grave before he'll ever admit it. One thing was fortuitous. The next time Henry comes in, you know, when we have leaks, he says, it's got to come from state. He always says it's come from state. I mean, where the documents, remember the documents have been leaked on previous occasions. We can't be sure over the past 13 months whether this son of a bitch didn't do it.
Sure.
You understand?
Sure.
He could have done it. We know he leaked this stuff. And Henry, I'm sure, thought that the Henry's stuff came from Satan.
Yeah, he walked right into it. John led him into it one day in a meeting held the other day.
Yeah. When he said Satan.
Sort of, yeah. What a terrible thing it was, and that he didn't have the courage to fire people, and had no discipline, you know, all this kind of stuff. John just kind of let him walk out.
John at that time knew that he had this fall.
He didn't know all this. Yeah, complicating fact about the Joint Chiefs, but he knew that they had centered on the fact that it had to be a guy in Henry's apparatus, and they were down to two or three people. It's essential. Because that you, remember when we got into the thing on this guy, you said that it would have to be someone who was acceptable to both Arthur and Connolly.
Sure.
To start with, and that you would not consider a recommendation until both of them concurred.
Sure.
And so I told him that. Well, he read that.
I'm saying that they had to concur after the party.
Well, yeah, and also, see, Connolly played a double game with us on that.
I know, he said he would be for it, I know.
He told Arthur he was for this guy Thompson, and he told me he was against him. He told you he was against him. And so we vetoed him.
That is a man, even though that doesn't mean that Arthur goes out and picks the man and does it with Connolly. I picked the man.
I told him that.
Yeah.
And I did that just one way. Why did the Supreme Court comparison? I said, obviously, you're interested in Arthur's recommendation, but the appointed authority can't be delegated to the chairman of the board. The president has to take that.
Sure. But there are other considerations in what he's thinking of. They're political.
And he made the point on this one of the political consideration of Texas, that it simply wouldn't do to have another Texan.
Yeah.
As that district.
You made that point.
Yes, sir. With the problem we already have of the top two treasury men being Texans.
Right.
And the fact of Connolly's Texanism being such a, so prominent.
Anyway, he's a good man. He's satisfied.
And Arthur thinks he's a good man. He's just, what really happened is, I'm convinced.
Arthur offered him the job.
Arthur promised him the job. Told him he had it. And it gets back to the Arthur ego business, where Arthur got
his ego
shot down, and that there's nothing you can do about it.
Well, I'm going to tell him in the future. I'm going to make the appointments. His recommendations be considered, but others have to be considered too, because I said I've got a pile, a stack that high I haven't even told him about. Supreme Court can take the people further on it. We're going to a couple of terrible people tomorrow.
But you considered all of them. He listened to his.
Also, the thing I will tell Arthur, I will not take somebody that you don't want. I said, I don't want the damn board to be one that is totally, we can't.
You're not putting in any deliberate intent.
No, at that point. I said that, and that time I got drunk, that's what I didn't want to do with Berger. I said Berger felt strongly that he just couldn't have the man on. It's too small a group to do that, but I would not do that. I wouldn't put oil and water together.
Yeah.
But I couldn't do all that.
Well, that's exactly the
thing. Yeah.
That's exactly what the way it's been put to him, but it isn't the way he chose to read it. And of course, he doesn't want to come to having equal veto power.
Well, Connolly's mine. Arthur doesn't have any veto power on the board at all. Connolly's got more than Arthur. That's what he's got to realize. He's one of the board. Damn, he could just go to some point.
Well, through all of that, if he get the money supply going, he would help, I guess.
Well, that's why I have to suck around. Generally speaking, newsplay is not particularly negative for this time of year.
No,
it's not particularly positive.
No, it is positive.
Pretty well handicapped and a little negative. Lawless. They crashed the goddamn market into something that's negative, isn't it?
Really hold it up. India Pack isn't all that bad for us. I still don't think
they hold on.
Henry's reading the technical stuff. Is if you get down in the, if anybody read the Carnot Martyr column or something, it might be that. That's
I want to, since I'm sure you saw the reason, another reason I wanted to start waiting for them to tell Henry is that I wanted you to be able to. Maybe with the help of Mitchell, for your put Henry in his place a little more about leaks and things. He is, he'll say, but going to rumble with somebody else did it and say, God damn it, he's got to look to his own shop now, his own shop.
Sure
does. He thought this was getting safety. They didn't need to go out the other way.
Well, actually, as when they got testing, they couldn't have, because some of the stuff was upstate, didn't have any access to.
Yeah, breaking down the investigation.
That's why the guys, what really upset Henry, when you boil it all down, is that David Young.
Yeah.
See, Earl sort of absconded with David Young out of Henry's nest.
But you see what they did, they found out that there was some information that nobody but that staff had.
That's all they wrote.
I don't know if there's any
thing for me to do around here.
You know, the Christmas parties and everything, I was thinking, I sort of walked around a bit. Idea not, it isn't particularly, particularly helpful, is it, right now, aren't they all in pretty good shape?
Everybody's in very good shape. There's, you know, it's never a bad thing to do.
Yeah, well, I have some time this afternoon, I may come in.
Good morning.
Henry, how are you? How are you? I'll finish yourself. I was delighted to hear you're going to Florida Saturday.
Sunday.
Oh, Saturday. Joe, tomorrow, Sunday. You want to say anything else?
I don't know about that.
They like the swimming pool, don't they? Aren't they swimming pool kids? I think it's available.
I don't know what that, go ahead. On the defense budget, if we can get that back, they could ask that. Land base is, paying is $359.
$359?
$300 that he's getting. And he says if he gets $50 million more, we have him on our back. And I really can't, $50 million more, he has to do it.
What did we finally come up with?
Then the $600 million? No, then the figure will be $400 million more than.
Then $400 million more than $75 million.
Then 78.5, 57.9. It'd be 78.9, something like that. And he's willing to settle for that.
I thought it was more than that. Oh no, we were at 76.5.
Well, that's the same. 76.5 to 78.5. Because he's got his billion in.
78.65.
Well, you understand, if you give him the pay, taking away the pay raise plus $400 million.
No.
$800 million.
No, he gets the pay raise and $50 million, and that's all he's getting. He's getting $400 million altogether.
Well, then we're still at 78.5, although he has gotten extra content.
That's right.
Still in the $400 million. Well, that's what the textbooks are, I would say.
It's a done deal, and if the layer is going to defend it,
yes.
He's going to put leaks. Costs 300,000 jobs. Did he put out that story to Art Burns? Did you know about that memorandum?
Yes, sir, I did, and I went over and talked to Art yesterday at length about it.
Who put out the story? I mean, who is somebody from budget beat it to Art? Let me say, Henry, what is involved?
Well,
it's not talking to Art about it. It's Art tries to build up defenses. Or what goes wrong with the economy in case he doesn't do what he ought to do on the money supply. A few months ago as well, we didn't do the fiscal right thing fiscally, but it would be too much inflation and therefore he couldn't do the money supply. So he's forced us, a year ago he was forcing us to have a very tight budget for one of these two. Then he came on, now then he got onto the wage price thing, and he now believes that the problem is that we're too soft on the wage side and too hard on the price side, and that's stuck. And this thing. But it all comes back, George, very cleverly to the line that he can say 6 months from now, in the event that no agreement is right. Well, I didn't do it. I told these fellows they should do this and that and the other. See my point?
Yeah. Okay. Well, what happened was, Mel Laird gave a party for Dave Packard. I wasn't there, but I heard
about it. I heard about it Wednesday night.
There was a discussion about this point, and that's how Arthur got onto it. Then Bob Luth was instructed by the secretary to send him a memo, which he did. Now, there's nothing new about this 300,000 job business.
Oh.
It is a matter of law that the military personnel have to be at a certain level by June 30th. That's the law. And so they have a program to get to that point. And it means means that there are 200,000 less in the military services, roughly, a little bit more than that, than there were in September.
Barker's argument is this year, rather than this year, right? And we can't move it.
The law is that. Now, in terms of the civilians and the defense contractors, on the civilian side, we have been trying to reduce the number of governmental personnel.
Yeah.
We have been following your instructions, working very hard on ATW, and we're in a great fight with Elliot about that. We put out initial guidance in defense, and then we never followed through on it because I understood you really didn't want to push that too hard. So, as of now, they are the lightest of any department of the government. And they are going down, I think, something like 34,000. And that's all because of the congressional cuts in their program, because they don't have any alternatives. On the contractor part, there's about a 60,000 decline that is purely and simply because there's just not as much ammunition and stuff like that being expended. On the other hand, the defense contracting curve is turning up.
And in the ORD, you are totally aware of the capability of command of the proposition that to the extent we can goose every single penny you can find in defense, things that will create jobs this year.
Mr. President, I have been going through that budget. We sent in a special supplemental. We sent building the dams, the rivers, the harbors, everything we can think of. As of now, Mr. President, oh, yeah. I spent an hour and a half with Arthur. I'll tell you, with some session.
You don't even tell me with some session.
But
I called him on the telephone just before I went down to keep his
good thing.
Very good. And I called about 10 o'clock. And I wish to God I hadn't.
Well, on this, a problem is, and OMB has been writing defense to spend more money. Their problem is that in the first 5 months of the year, they have only spent $28 billion. They haven't had a $6 billion month yet. In fiscal 1972, we have now got the month through November. We know what their outlays have been. Now, you add 6 to 28, 34, double it, 68. And we're carrying at least, we're counting on them for $74 billion in outlays. Now, they say they're going to make it, and I hope they do, and we're pounding on them, too. It means a big amount of spending in the first half of next year for that level, and this 73 budget that we have will continue that right on with no let-up.
Now, the F-111 is in, where are you going to put that in the 780? Should we have the F-111 beyond that one?
It's a, well, this is included in as we see it. The F-111, I hate to see us buy another 12 F-111s. The Air Force doesn't even want the plane, and it's a very expensive way to create a few jobs. But anyway, that's in there.
Given him as a mayor.
It's a very good airplane. It's a deep interdiction airplane.
It's the price we need in the war,
Mr. President. George and I were talking this morning. Both of us agree that we are not spending enough on defense. But both of us also agree that if we gave them more money, they wouldn't spend it on the right things.
I know.
I mean, they've got that Air Force, for example.
Well, for example,
we've got a plan that can do anything.
Well, for example, we have tried to get them in charge for the past 4 days to put a strike in the North Vietnam on some areas that have been shooting in a shotgun. Bastards haven't got anything that can fly unless it's absolutely weather like this. They haven't. If that's too sophisticated.
At the worst, Mr. President, we gave them authority in November 17th, England executed. Then we gave them authority in February 71, and 4 weeks to execute it. Then we gave them authority.
How much longer, Brian, going to be cheated?
In September of this year, they couldn't execute it. Now we gave them another authority in December, so we've had them in four of them. In five different languages,
let's get away from that.
But should I settle that with them 78.5 plus 50?
that's all right, and but on the understanding of what we're going to print and so on, and then we can...
It might be 78.6 the way he figures it.
That doesn't make any difference. You can't get
by. But the main thing is to settle on. He is to be an enthusiastic top advocate of our position. He should talk to the hardliners. He should talk to the Buckleys, to the right wingers, and say that they help the administration. Is that clear, Henry?
And he can do that, I'll say, do that with a clear conscience, because it is.
All right, well, that's been trying to convince George of.
If he has one.
He argues substance, certainly. He never did that about substance. All he wants to do is to say, yeah, I can leave a little bit of more money.
Well, that may be, but as in your foreign policy and defense policy, the substance is terrifically important. Now, you need these things.
Yeah. All right, I'll pretend to drive. Fine. Did you write a letter to George that we can send over to him today?
All right. I'll get it into your office.
I have read the memorandum. I will be prepared to handle the problems with appointments of that. And I am going to. Does he know that or expect that I can talk about the money supply situation today?
No, my guess is that he wants to talk to you about the appointment process.
Fine.
Now, his...
I know Paul needed to go to the whole government. He thinks that he should do it. He doesn't work that way.
Well, he has interviewed Sheehan, who is your nominee, and he admits that Sheehan is a good person. He's impressed with him. We spent a long time on this in our discussion. I think that a clear statement on how you intend to go about it would be satisfying to him. Now, he would like to control it, but he agrees that it's a presidential appointment. And I think
we don't allow, can you name any agency or board where I call the agency office as I got a thing, who do you want on the board? You can't do that.
That's what I told him. So that's not
the case. One thing I do, they can submit names.
Sure.
And the other thing we do, I would not put somebody on the board that was totally, he was totally against. I wouldn't do that because I want to harm our harmonious board. But he can't control it.
Right. Well, I think it would be good to say that to him. He agrees that the money supply should now go up.
How's he going to do it?
And
he said I talk to him? I talk to Connolly, believes I should. I don't know, but you don't think so. Or is it going to be belling the cat too much?
Well, the Open Market Committee, he told me, voted for an increase in the money supply. And last week, in fact, it did go up. Now, whether it's just another clip like the other one we had or not.
Come in, Harvey. I've got too much sun here. Very handsome board. He's bored. And of course, the Sato was the biggest.
for a man. He devoted about half of my time searching for a man in the South when I thought he'd want to make an offer from that area. I found an outstanding man. Then I spent weeks persuading him to take the vote. The man of great wealth, well, he's connected in all kinds of civic and business affairs. I had a staff of attorneys working over his affairs so that there would be no conflict of interest problem. You didn't have any difficulty in the Senate, and the Federal Reserve didn't have any. I cleared it all with the Civil Service Commission, and the only after I had done all that preparatory work did I submit the name to the White House. None of the rules were changed on. Three names were to be submitted. The man who was finally chosen was the third man on my list. I'm not complaining, but I want to look to the future. I don't think the decision was a good one. I'll tell you why. I think she is a good man. I don't mean to say that. But here, what do we know about him? The knowledge I can describe as follows. He is a branch director of one of our banks, so some of our people have come over before they appoint him. I checked with two Federal Reserve men. And they recommended him hiring. I spent 2 hours with him, and he impressed me most favorably. Then Mr. Matt, I did some checking, and I don't know who you checked. Probably, I would guess, with political people, mainly.
Yes, sir.
And not a business people, I think.
All right, he did both.
But you see, Thompson, here's what Thompson, I'm not complaining, I just want to indicate the kind of problem. Thompson had served in the Federal Reserve System for years. His last 5 years, he was chairman of the board of the Dallas Bank. He knows my presence of the banks and the chairman of the board. He has great prestige with that group. In the year ahead, I'm going to have difficulty with my presidents keeping them in line. They've opened with the Federal Open Market Committee. I had difficulty at the last meeting. I kept them there till 4 o'clock to get what I want. I used up a lot of my goodwill. I still hope to keep them in line. He would have helped me. She had a year or two from her. Maybe in a position to offer some more help. You can't do it next year. Well, that's history. Now, for the future, I'd like to know the guy in line. No sense in my spending weeks looking for a man and then finding him just shoved aside.
The way it should be done is this, that I think that you use the analogy of the Supreme Court. It's a very good, it's the way I would look at it. Let me put it another way. We can make appointments for the ICC. SCC and all these things. We seldom consult. I don't think we consult the chairman of those commissions. So, in other words, there is now purely regional blend or qualified basis. You know, in the case of the, I think the two agencies were.
Thank you.
in your case, you should have more authority than Berger in the sense of recommending. On the other hand, it must be understood that that other names will also come up that you may not turn up. So we'll, what we would like to do, what I'd like to do is when the next appointment comes around, Malik talks to you. Malik will talk around among other people and maybe talk to George and Conley and others. And of course,
one place when I sweated it out, and I have all kinds of considerations, and even a moment of time,
I think you will adjust. I would agree with that, but let me say that in this instance, Connie's got the bad rap now. He is Mushia. He's Shia, that's not Connie's man. As a matter of fact, the Shia thing is, just between us, is very important to us for reasons of regional political balance. Kentucky is a very, very, very important place to us. That's what really is involved, I can assure you. This was not, he was not a Connie employ. He's not very close to Connie. Connie's closer to the other one, Thompson. Thompson, he knows that comes from. Connie met Shia for the first time, and so I can assure you that this was a Malik area. Frankly, Malik, whatever I said, look, you've got to, if you want somebody from this area, this is the guy that can do us the most good, and he is qualified.
He is.
And that's what they did.
He is qualified.
But don't get the impression that we're going to play the line you against Connie, right, George? We can't do that. Obviously, you work with all these people, and also because of our personal relationship. Your recommendation, as I said, will have primary weight. I've always taken for political reasons, but on the other hand, primary weight.
I think
the way to work it out.
And I ask one thing, Lord.
Sure. Now, for example, we ought to start on each other right now. Get some names so that we don't get into this sort of flap. Don't talk. Don't tell anybody anything. Wait till later till we get to, so that we can inform them.
I see one thing more.
Yeah.
I hope that's accepted. We'll submit a list of names to you.
Yeah.
Before you make your decision,
talk to you.
I'm sure. Like to talk to you.
Oh, I heard that.
Because you know that. There are dimensions of that.
Right.
You can't.
Well, listen, right. We are not. Look, the first thing is that I just helped talking to George when Henry was in here. I said, before you came in, I said, there's one thing I will not do. I won't do it with Vern. My opponent, I won't do it with Burns. I'm not going to put oil and water together because we cannot do that. I mean, I want the thing to work together. You understand? But I only say that because I know you understand. That's the thing. We're in a different relationship. I'm not sure I'd say it with Martin. I'm knowing that, but.
I have that just so that I'm sure I'm not going to raise the point. But these people that ask me about money supply, Burns can take care of it.
Correct.
You're all, you got Vaughn South.
Burns is not one.
All right. I won't raise it. You're independent. Independent. You get it up.
Have a good holiday.
I don't want any more nasty letters from people about it. Okay.
I mean, that I can't guarantee.
They don't know, but the thing is, Arthur, they don't understand it. And I know that it's very complicated. I thought, as a matter of fact, I'm the same experience as Mark Connelly on the way back. My way down. I said, what the hell's happening to money supply? I said, I saw it on 500 million, then that down to 300, and then 200, and I read some other. He said, well, he says, in fairness to Arthur, he says, you've got to realize that those numbers don't mean all that much. But the whole point is, get it up, you know, fair enough. Kick it.
Thank you.
We have one.
Yeah, come on.
Friedman will probably write that more or less in a Newsweek column.
Right, that'll be helpful.
open market committee, he told me, did vote to have an increase in the money supply last week. And the figures last week did go up. We don't know whether that's a blip or not. At least it is consistent with the policies that they follow. If I could just get you on two other things. The consumer price index will come out this afternoon.
Yeah.
It's pretty, have you heard that number? It's pretty good. Up 0.2 of a point.
Same as
last month. Last month it was 0.2 up unadjusted and 0.1 seasonally adjusted.
What is it this time?
And it's 0.2 both ways this time.
I see.
The 3-month change, that is from August through November, seasonally adjusted is 1.7%. And that is, I haven't had a chance to search back historically to find when we've had a 3-month period that way.
Right.
It must be back into the middle 60s.
Middle 60s, yeah, right.
So that's pretty good. And the year over year increase is now 3.5%. That'll keep coming down as we go along.
Maybe so.
So we're well, it's just because of the way the numbers work. We had
one thing that he did not raise today. I suppose he raised a few of his concern about the paperwork and the pricing.
We talked about
part of the pay board is being too generous, the price commission is being too tough, and that the cost of living council can get back in. I don't know whether he's right or not, except that I am totally committed to getting rid of both. And so what I want you to talk to Rummy about and everybody else, I want you to realize that I have not for the damn thing. And if we can, yeah. So therefore, I want them to do the best they can, but let's get it to the back pages and then get it out as soon as we can. That's my view. You agree?
Yes, sir.
Or you see some other answer, George. You see, my point is that when I'm raised with me, I just come out there. I don't believe these things.
We have one thing I just want to check with you. I think I'm proceeding on the track you want. Having to do with federal pay. Remember, we talked about that some time ago. We took a position in the Congress that we were against the rise. And we made the point that if we were going to have the 5.5%, it would be an annual rate. Now, it's controversial so far as the legislation is concerned, whether that is the congressional intent. At least it's ambiguous enough so it can be interpreted to mean that the October 1 comparability increase is not automatic by virtue of the fact of the Economic Stabilization Act overruling the Comparability Act. And that is the track that we're on, and that's what's behind this discussion about defense, because that relieves the defense budget of all that money. It's always astounding to me how much a little bit makes in terms of defense budget.
Well, I don't know about it. You just do what you
have to do. Well, we're virtually unanimous on taking that position now so Congress can see if they don't like it.
Yeah.
They can roll us. I feel
that's
so. I feel as though they very surely will. Bob Hampton is unhappy about it, and I promised him that I would.
Why is he proceeding beyond it?
Well, he thinks the October 1 increase ought to be foregone, but he thinks you should wait until June, and then you should send up an alternate plan and have the Congress vote on it one way or another, the way we did the 6-month postponement, and just handle it that way. That is not a time of year when anyone is going to stand up vote against this pay raise, I don't think. And to the extent that we want to interpret the act as giving us the ability to forego the increase, it seems to me we ought to say so clearly now, and then if people feel the act isn't being properly interpreted, they can make a change, and I imagine they will. But at least we will be trying to keep waiting. Well, the last time around, we opposed it, but we didn't make a big issue out of it. We were content to be rolled.
That's right. Just let it go and let the government work its way.
Well, we'll go ahead on that track, and I would want to
start on the money supply. first showing is, again, it's smallness when you thought that Conley is jealousy. Conley didn't fix you.
Malik is very good.
Malik is excellent. Malik, and Conley said, well, sorry, but me. He said, feel that the, he thought the other call would be under our certainly transfer. He had a seat, so I said, FBI Jack May, Civil Service Jack May, and promised him the job. That's his problem. We cannot do that. That fellow has got to be, that's the other thing. I have got to appoint the man. I got to name the man and promise him the job. And just between you and me, as long as I'll have him talk first. Do you see what I mean? Justice.
I hesitated to send you that previous letter, but
you know how I feel about it, and it
seemed to me that well, I think the
had a chance to talk to you about the monetary experience, but it was a stunning. Incidentally, you'll be interested to know, and
those people who he deserved a lot of support, and I tried to give it to him.
Right, I know.